Beginning of Parshas Tazria, Rashi quotes from the Mishnayos and from the Gemaras that there are three different levels of tumah. If a person is tumah and he didn't go to mikveh yet, he's mamish tumah. So any oichlim or mashkin or kelim that he will come in contact with, he will be metameh. Hashem came, what if the person already did go to the mikveh but he didn't yet have hayr of shemesh? But then he's only called a tfu yom. So benegei to chulin, if he's going to touch any chulin, he won't be metami. Benegei to ma'aseh sheni, he's also tahor. He's permitted to eat ma'aseh sheni. Of course, can if he touches ma'aseh sheni, he doesn't passel it. After going to mikveh before hayrav shemesh, but he's not permitted to eat truma, nor is he permitted to touch truma. If he touches the truma, until yom touches truma, he passels the truma. There is a Rashi in one place. There is a Rashi in one place, I forgot whether it's the end of Chulin or the middle of Soita. One place Rashi writes that this din is only the Rabbonim. The din that a Tfuyom is not permitted to eat Truma, that's a din that rises. Because it's based on the Chumash, you have to have Hayrav Shemesh. But the din that a Tfuyom who touches Truma passes it, so one place Rashi writes that's only the Rabbonim. The other place Rashi writes Fakirat, Migdash David quotes it. The other place Rashi writes Fakirat, that it's the Beferish of Pasuk on last week said in Parsha Shemini. It says the favorite that you need Harif Shemesh by Kalim. But the Kli was Nidmo. You need Harif Shemesh. What do you need Harif Shemesh for? But the Kli is going to eat Truma. The Kli doesn't eat Truma. So you see the favorite. If they put the Truma in the Kli, it's full Yom. Even though the Kli was already Nitval in the Mikvin, it's Tohar Legabi Chulin and Legabi Maisa Sheni, but it's still Tommy Legabi Truma, even to Pasal the Truma. Not just that you're not permitted to eat the Truma. But that's what the Migdash David writes. The Ikir is like the other Rashi. The one Rashi is mamish against the Pasuk in Chumash. You can't say that the din of Hayrav Shemesh is only needed to get to be permitted to eat the truma. And then there's a third din that even a person who was tevel in the mikveh who already had Hayrav Shemesh, if he's one of the people who had to bring a korban, zav zava, yoled this and mitzora, out of four mechusri kipurim, four mechusri kapora. One who is Tameh, who has to bring a Kambi. Rather Mechusri Kapara as well. There's a Ger is considered in a certain sense Mechusri Kapurim. And a Nazir who didn't bring the Korban is the Korban of Tamata, the Nazir to take a Tiglacha, a haircut, and Tamim Tamil the Mason. But that's a different kind of Mechusri Kapara. But these four, the Zab, the Zab, the Yoled, the Mitzora, they're Mechusri Kapurim in the sense that Tahara is not completed until they're going to bring the Korban. So that's only been a Ger to Knisa La Migdosh, been a Ger to Achilos Korbanos. Mechusri Kippurim, until he brings the carbon, he's still considered tummy. So let's say this Yoledes. Yoledes, the first 7 days, she's considered like mamish atmeya. Even if she goes to the mikveh in the middle of the first 7 days, look, she had a baby girl the first 14 days. So the first 14 days doesn't help, even if she goes to the mikveh. She has to wait till after the 7 and the 14 days are up, and then she goes to mikveh. That means it's a little difficult. The Gemara points out the din. The din is that by a nida has to wait 7 days, and then she goes to the mikveh after the completion of the 7 days. The zava has to wait 7 days, and she's permitted to be tovel in the mikveh the morning of the 7th day. And our Torah is saying mikveh sayam kukula, the morning of the 7th day, she can be tovel in the mikveh. We have a chumra midrabanan. The Gemara explains in the end of Maseches Nida why Reb Shimon the Tana has a chumra midrabanan that we don't also las his cane. You don't allow a woman to be tovel in the mikveh. The Mishnah Megillah says that she can be tovel in the morning. It's not mikveh yom kukula. By a shemarit yom keneged yom, by zavak tano, or by zavak doilo, doesn't matter. She can be tovel in the morning. The Gemara in the end of the Nida quotes a braisa where it has Rav Shimon, and that's how we paskin that midirabon she's not permitted to be tovel in the mikveh in the morning, and he gives you a whole reason why. Rav Shimon explains why midirabon they don't allow it. So what's the reason why by Zava you say Mikseyam Kukula she can be tevel in the morning, and by Nido you don't say Mikseyam Kukula? It's based on Psukim. What's the reason why? So the Pashtus is that the only time you apply Mikseyam Kukula is you have to have two conditions. Number one has to be a Malos that's superimposed over the calendar, like Zav, Zava, Yoledes, all of these people have a Malos. Let's say on Shabbos Yom Tov, say, well, I went to the first minyan in the morning, I davened Hashkama minyan, mikzayim kukula, now I can go to work. There are many people who still do that. Out of Yom Hazeh. Let's say Yom Kippur, you fast a little bit in the morning, and you observe the dinim, then mikzayim kukula finished. So you don't say that on a calendaric day. It's a day on the calendar. So the rest of the day is also Shabbos. The rest of the day is also Yom Kippur at Tisha B'av. If it's not a calendaric day, Avelis, by Avelis the same exam Kukula. Why? Because everybody dies at a different time of the year. It's not one month of Lord that everybody dies, that everybody sits Shiva at the same time. Whenever the person dies, whenever the Kfur is, you superimpose a unit of time, 3 days, 7 days, 30 days, whatever it is, you're superimposing his manim on top of the calendar, so then you say, make sense for Kula by Nazir, the Imartoks make sense for Kula. The Kabbalah Nazir is middle of nowhere, there's no Zman Kavu on the calendar when the laws of Naziris apply. So first of all, make sense for Kula only applies if it's a Malos, Malos being superimposed on the calendar, it's not a calendar. Number two, you have to have, in order to say make sense for Kula, you have to have some kind of a kihum, some kind of a nihum that you've done in the morning of the last day. If the person is noyeg the avelus, the mikzos, in the beginning, in the morning of the last day, so mikzos nihug of the last day is kikula. But if there's no nihug to do, then you can't say mikzos and kikula. So the pashtus is, that's why there's a difference between a zavo and a nida, because by the nida, she doesn't have to do anything. She doesn't have to make any bedikis or anything, even if there's dam up until the end of the seventh day, it doesn't matter whether there is dam, there's not dam. You just have to wait 7 full days. And after the 7 days are up, Amanda, she's terrible. Of course, she's going to have to make a hefsek tara. The nida has to make a hefsek tara before the end of the seventh day, because if she's still having dam in the eighth day, then she just became a zavak tana. So, but that's not mitzad hilchas nida. Mitzad hilchas nida, she doesn't need any bedikas at all. So there's nothing for her to do. There's nothing to do. You don't just say mikzem kukula that the last day can be broken off. Sheni came by a zava does need bedikah. So if she'll make the bedikah in the morning of the seventh day, then you'll say mikzus ayayim kukula. If there's something that you have to do, let's say the nazir, you can say mikzem kukula. The nazir is noig naziris. If he's not taking a haircut, and he's not being metame lemesim, and he's not drinking wine, the Rambam writes, harizikia mitzvus aseh. He's mekayim the mitzvus of kodesh yiyah, gadol peiros harosh. It's not just that there is a reseh, it's a kiyuma mitzvah. He was mekayim something. So the pashto should have been by a yoledes, by the yoledes, by the yoledes, it's a malos. It's superimposed on the calendar. It's not a calendaric thing. The question is, would you say mitzvah sayam kukuloy or not? So the Gemara says that you don't. The Gemara says himself, I'm not tzaddik. That by nida violetas, he don't say mikzah yam kakula. So Rashi says, why? Because the pasuk says, ki main nida tzvois atitma. The pasuk compares the oledas to a nida, not just by, because if she has a baby boy, it's 7 days, like over there by the nida, it's 7 days. When she has a baby girl, it's 14 days, it's also ki main nida tzvois atitma. It's also like a nida, even though it's twice as long. In what sense is the oledas compared to a nida? So just like by a nida, he don't say mikta sayam kukula, so too by the Aledis he don't say mikta sayam kukula. But Bemis Lukhar, you shouldn't even need it. There is a cost of a yafusa to indicate this. The pashto should be like that. Because by the Aledis, it's also the same thing. She doesn't have to have any bidikas. Adarabha, the Gemara says, even if the dam continues, there's dam on the first day, on the second day, every day there's dam, and then there's dam in the 33 days of the 66 days, that's dam tohar. So there's no kiyum, there's no nihug that she has to wait, that she has to do on the last day. She just has to count the days and wait till the end of this month. So since there's no kiyum, there's no nihug, so that's the reason why the din is that you don't say mikzus ayam kukuloi by the oledes. Yeah.
In fact,
the
Yidah, the Persian Balad,
that the Yisr, yeah, by the Zov also. By the Zov also, she has to be Persian Balad, but that's not the mikzus nihug. That's a nihu gavanisa. Mixus nihu means that she does a bedikah on the morning of the seventh
day.
Yeah, you have to have a nihu. By the nazir, the nihu is b'shevi al-tah. The nihu by the nazir is that he doesn't take a haircut, and he doesn't metamel meisim, and he doesn't drink any wine, but still, it's a kiyum, it's a sase. That's how he did consider the kiyum. Hashem came, that she abstains from being with her husband, that's an isa. It's not a kiyum. She's observing it, she's not violating an isa.
But
yes, it turned out that it's a calendaric day. It's not really calendaric. They happen to have died between Pesach and Shavuos. Alpi Mikra. I mean, Alpi Mikra, when people die, it's also not Alpi Mikra. But it's not a calendaric day. Talmid Rebbe Akiva happened to have died. The Bezen Shalmala decided they should die between Pesach and Shavuos. So we observe every year Avelus in commemoration. That's also the Chorah, not a calendaric day. The days were never Nikva min Hashamayim as the special days. Tisha B'Av was Nikva. Kadosh Baruch Hu, and at the time of the Chet HaMeraglim, said it's going to be Kaveh, the day of Tisha B'Av, as a Galgalim Choyv Yom Chayiv. The Rebbeinu Shalom decided then he's going to make the Churban Bat Mikdashim on the day of Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av is a calendaric day. It's not just Alpi Mikra. It happens to be the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. But the Talmid Rebbe Kiva dying, that happened to be like any other Rebbe. It happened to be that time of the year. Shailus, what's the Nihug? What Nihug do you have? We have Mikta Yom Kekula by Shiva and by Shloshim. You don't say Mikta Yom Kekula by Yud Beis Chodesh. So in Shulchan Aruch, they give a reason, they give one reason, and Rav Soloveitchik, I remember, gave a different reason. In the Shulchan Aruch, they say the reason why there's no Mikta Yom Kekula by Yud Beis Chodesh is because the only time you apply Mikta Yom Kekula if you're working with units of Yomim, units of days. So Shiva and Shloshim, days of Naziris, days of Nidui, Cherem, Shamto, these are days of Zavak Tana, Zavak Deila. Here the halacha was formulated either din derais or din derabbanan by Avelus or din derabbanan. Here the halacha was formulated in units of days. Mashenikin Avelus, it's not formulated in units of days, it's formulated in units of months. Yud Beis Chodesh. So you can't say Mikzusay and Kekula, the last day of the last month, you're not dealing with the units of days, you're dealing with units of months. When you say Mikzusay Chodesh Kekula, there is no such thing. The pasuk that says Mikzusay and Kekula is written by Zova at the end of Parshas Mitzvah. It's written by Zova, Achatita, Rachamaisetita. So it only says it when you're dealing with units of days. That's the Hezbollah that's given in Shulchan Aruch. I think they quote in the Kumas Adeshin, if I'm not mistaken. So Soloveitchik suggested an additional Hezbollah that's certainly also in this. Based on the Gemara, see it's in this. By Avelus, Shiva, and Shloshim, there's a Nihug Avelus. Not just that the person is Noig Yisurim, that he doesn't take a bath, and he doesn't do Tashmish Shamit, and he doesn't wear shoes. No, it's considered even though it's B'Shevi Altasa, all the Nehugim are B'Shevi Altasa, but it's still considered that Kiyom of Mitzvah Savelus, Mashenikin, Yud Beis Chodesh, there is Taka only Niyug Yisurim, it's just Miyu Tanugim. So just because the Oval is observing the Yisuri Avelus on the Mitzvah Sayyim of the last day of the Yud Beis Chodesh, that's not enough to say Kikula. Mitzvah Kikula only applies. And there's some kind of a nihu, like the Nazir, who observes the three things, the Shevi Altasa, the Tumah, the Tkalachas, and the Yayin. The Rambam might say, Reza Kiyim, it's a Sessa. He's Mekayim, there's a Kiyim. So, Babelis Yud Beis Chodesh, there is no Kiyim. Anyway, here again, by the Yoleda. So the Yoleda is the first 7 of 14 days, she's Mamish Tmei. Even if she goes to the Mikveh, it's not going to be Mamish Tmei, like a Nido. Nida goes to Mikveh in the middle of the Zman. Sometimes a woman goes on a trip, she's going to Australia, she's going to Japan, and she won't have a mikveh available, so she can't go to mikveh now, and then she won't be with her husband until 4 days later. You can't go, there is no kiddushin, you can have lachalamid. A get, you can give lachalamid. You can do haproshes truma lachalamid. Make a hakdosh of karbonis lachalamid. It can't be tovel on the mikveh lachalamid. It's called sekinyana. If she goes to mikveh before the proper zman, so it's not valid at all. So the oledes has to go to mikveh after the 7th day, or after the 14th day by a baby boy or baby girl. After she goes to mikveh, she's considered a tful yom. Rashi quotes from the Gemara, from the Mishnah, it's not only is she a tful yom up until the Tzeis HaKechavim, immediately following, she's what we call a tful yom oruch. Rashi quotes from the Gemara, she's a tful yom oruch, she's considered a tful yom till the end of the 40 days, or till the end of the 80 days, till the end of the whole malos. In other words, she's not allowed to eat truma that whole time. Not just in between the mikveh and the tzeis hakechavim, in between the tefillah and the mikveh, and the tzeis hakechavim of the whole malos, of the 40 or the 80 days. And then after the malos is up, and she's no longer called a tful yom, now she's permitted to eat, it's already Harib Shimsha. After the 40 or the 80 days, now she's permitted to eat truma, but she's still not permitted to enter the Beis HaMikdash, or to eat korbanos until she brings her korban. That's called Mechusa Kippur. Rashi on the Pasuk, there's a Mitzorah Muzgan, and there's a Mitzorah Mukhlot. And the Mishnayis have the various chilukim between a Mitzorah Muzgan and Mitzorah Mukhlot. A lot of dinim. Not just the Mishnah Megillah, there are a lot of Mishnayis in the Goyim that give you the distinctions between a Mitzorah Muzgan and a Mitzorah Mukhlot. So Rashi writes, what does it mean, the Hizgir HaKoyim? So Rashi writes, the Hizgir Yazgirenu Bebayis Echod. He locks them up in a house. Rashi on Pasuk Dalet. Perek Yud Gimel writes, Yazgirenu b'baisech. He has to stay quarantined in a house. He's not supposed to walk around. The Tur, in his commentary on Flemish, quotes in the name of his father, an original pshat. Tarat Mima quotes this. In his autobiography, he quotes a lot of wild things that he discussed with his father. Maybe the pshat is like this, maybe the pshat is like that. So this is one of the things, that the Tur quotes the name of the Rosh. His Giras HaNega means he put a bandage on the Nega. His Giras HaNega doesn't say the His Giras HaOdom. His Giras HaNega, Yamazgir the Nega. Chaylik on Rashi. Rashi says, Yazgirenu b'baisecho, that the Odom, you lock the man up in the house and you don't let him go out of the house. So the Tur quotes the name of his father, but it doesn't mean. The Gemara says that the Klolei HaPsak by Sofik, Tumas Mitzoyro, are different from all other Sofik Tumas. By all other Sofik Tumas, the Klolei Sofik Tumas B'shus HaYochid is Steka Tomei Vadai, the Sofik Tumas B'shus HaRabim is Steka Tohar. By Tumas Mitzoyro, we learn out from the Pasuk, the last Pasuk in Tazria. Zos taras nega taras beget semer beget tishn le taharo o le tamo. So why does it say first le taharo then le tamo? So the Gemara says in Maseches Nazir, the Mishnah in the Gemara Maseches Nazir, that if you have a person or a beget or a bayis and there's a suffix whether he's supposed to declare mistomei or not, so the person is not becheskes tahara. It's a suffix whether the kohen should declare mistomei. So the din is that you do not declare him mistomei. Since the word that's mentioned first is letaharo, or letamo, letaharo precedes letamo, so letaharo takes precedence. But what happens if the person is tomei? He has already been declared as tomei. And now the sofik is at the end of the week, at the end of the 2 weeks, at the end of the 3 weeks, whatever. Different maris, different kinds of negoim have different periods of time. The Mishnah spell out 1 week, 2 week, 3 weeks. At the end of the time, the kohen has a sofik, maybe he's supposed to be metaher him. Maybe not. So then he has now been the cheskas tumah for the last week or two or three. So then, in order to be metayer him, then you have to know bevadai that he's tohar. And if there's a suffix, then you leave him tumah. Then you don't declare that he's tohar. Takamanishtana. How come the klolei tumah suffix tumah b'shus hayochid sveka vadai tumah suffix tumah b'shus harab sveka vadai tohar? How come these klolei tumah don't apply to mitzora? So Tesis has two opinions on the first daf in Nido. And in Baba Kama and Afin Aleph, places with the Shitim Kubetzis, the Tes Yarosh, is the Machlek Zerushalim. Some Rishalim say that the Klolei Tumah, Safek Tumah B'shus HaYochid versus Safek Tumah B'shus HaRab, that you have a different way to pass from the Shilas, only applies to Tumas Mago. It doesn't apply to any Tumas Riyah. It doesn't apply to any Tumas Shayotza Ola Megufa. To Azav, Zavo, Yoledis, and Mitzero, Nido, all of these people, this whole category. It's not that they touched a mace, or they touched another person who was in Mitzera, or they touched a dead sheretz, or they touched a nevela. It's not that the tumor was caught. They didn't catch tumor. They didn't catch it mibachus. They weren't mekabel tumas mago. The tumor developed within their body. That's tumah hayotza ol migufa. So by tumah hayotza ol migufa, one opinion in Tesis is by a need also. The first daf a need. By a need also, the klali hapsak of Rishus Hayoch and versus Rishus Haram don't apply. So the mele Mitzera is the same as the other. The other opinion in this is, well, that's when it's an interesting Chiddush Mitzvah, is called the Tumah Hayotza Ol Megufa. Mitzvah is called the Tumah Hayotza Ol Megufa, even though by Mitzvah the Tumah doesn't happen automatically. The Tumah isn't Chal until the coin passes Tumah. That's if the coin looks at him and he passes Tumah. You had all this money Tumah from earlier in the day. Yesterday you had this money Tumah. Until the coin passes Tumah, the person is not Tumah. It doesn't happen by itself. It's a little unusual that this should be called the Tumah Hayotza Ol Megufa because he doesn't become Tumah automatically. But that's the halacha. That's the halacha. This whole category, Zav, Zav, Anidi, Aledis, and Mitzora, these five people are all considered Tumah Hayotza Ol Megufa. By a Balkari is a big machlokes harishonim. A man who's a Balkari is a Shaila. Is that a Tumah Hayotza Ol Megufa? Like a Zav? The Tumah is not the same as a Zav. A Zav is talking about for 7 days and each Shivani came in and needs a carbon. Balkari doesn't need a carbon, is only tummy for 1 day. It's a different consistency, it's a different thing that comes out of the body. It's a ganz and a different thing. This is bainus, and shaloi bainus, a sickness, and it's not a sickness, it's a ganz and a different thing. But the question is whether the tumas balkari is a tumas ria, tumi yotzel magufa, maybe it's a tumas mago. When the tipas keri comes out of his body, just like if anyone else touches the tipas keri, or if a kli a beggar touches the tifas keri, so the beggar becomes tame. So the Baal Keri himself becomes tame, tumas maga, when it leaves his body, it's touching his body from the outside. That's a big machlekes in the Rishonim. And the first daf in Bava Kamas, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah from Taris that says, Ovis atumah hasheres vashich vazera, the tame meis. So some Rishonim amadaik anat, the Balei HaTosfos amadaik anat Mishnah. Ovis atumah hasheres vazera. It doesn't say the Baal Keri, it says the sheres vazera. So the mashmoes of the Mishnah is that the Baal Keri himself is not an av hatumah, he's a Rishon hatumah. Because he's only a kabel tumah from the tifas keri. He's not a tumah yotzal megufa. It's going to be a big difference. Is he an av hatumah? Is he a rishon hatumah? If it's a tumah smago, then he's only going to be a rishon hatumah. If it's a tumah yotzal megufa, then the baal keri is going to be an av hatumah, big nafkemina. So that's a big machlekes in the rishonim. Some point out that it looks like it's a machlekes hatanoim. Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky and others point out there's a sefer on the Rambam wrote a Hakdomah, the Pirush HaMishnai stated Taris, a very long Hakdomah, which one of the scholars, one of the Jewish scholars of Jewish history said that if that's all we would have had from the Rambam, it's just a Hakdomah to the Pirush HaMishnai to Taris, we would have known that he was one of the Goyni Hador of all generations, just a Hakdomah to Taris. So he puts everything in, ties together all the dinam of Taras. So it's a very condensed Hakdomah. So one of the Gedolim, about 200 years ago, less than 200 years ago, 150 years ago, wrote a long commentary on this Hakdomah to the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnayis to Taras. It's called the Sefer Mein Afer. This author, the Mein Afer, wrote other Svarim on Mishnayis Taras. Some of them are printed. Some of his commentaries are printed on the side of the Vilna Shas on the Mishnayis and Seder Taras. Not all, there's a separate sefer, Mayim Kedoshim. So this, in the sefer, Mein Achtoyach, he also points out, in this Mein Achtoyach, he points out also that this Machlekes HaRishonim seems to be a Machlekes HaTanoim. That's where Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky also writes the same. It wasn't Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky's Chiddush, they shown in Mein Achtoyach. Mein Achtoyach was a classic sefer. Also, Leitchik mentioned once that his grandfather, Rabbi Chaim, hardly used the too many Achrayim, but the Mein Achtoyach was always on his desk. He was using the Mein Achtoyach when he was learning Yom HaTaras. He was learning Bava Kamma. He's not going to use the Mein Achtoyach. There's a different Mein Achtoyach on Yevamos that has nothing to do with this Mein Achtoyach. That's somebody else. Sefer with the same name by a different author. A Tupel Sefer on Yevamos. But this Mein Achtoyach on Taras, that's a classic. So the one opinion of Tosis is that it's not only Mitzora who's different, that the Klalei HaPsak of Safik Tuma B'Shus HaYochad versus B'Shus HaRam don't apply to Mitzor, they don't apply to Zav Zav Anidi Aledis and Mitzor, they don't apply to this whole category of Tuma HaYotza Olav Miguf. The other opinion in Taisvis in the Rishonim is that it's not correct, that the only Yotza Min HaKlal is Mitzor, by the others, by the Zav Zav the Nidi Aledis, it would make a difference whether it's B'Shus HaYochad or B'Shus HaRabim, and Mitzor is the only one is different. The Marsha points that out. Neither. The question is, why in the world should that be so? Manishtana Mitzor from all the others. So the Marsha doesn't explain it. But that's what the Mein Achtoyach quotes that Marsha. He says he's going to explain why. It's not called the Sofik Tumah. The only time he called it a Sofik Tumah is if the Tut Zdari HaSofik are, is he Tame or is he Tohar? By the Mitzorah, he doesn't become Tame automatically. The Tut Zdari HaSofik are, is he Tohar and there's no mitzvah to Tamo, or is he Tohar and there is a mitzvah to declare that he's Tame? Well, let's say he is Tomei, and then at the end of the week, or the second week, or the third week, the Kohen has a suffix whether he should declare him a Tohar. So it's not a suffix, is he Tomei or Tohar? No, it's a suffix, is he Tomei and there's a mitzvah on the Kohen to declare that he's Tohar? Or is he Tomei and there's no mitzvah on the Kohen to declare the Tohar? So that's a suffix mitzvah. That's not called a suffix tum. The only time he called it a suffix tum is when the two tzadari has suffix are. Is the guy, is the thing Tomei, or is the thing Tohar? Whatever it is, by Mitzorah for sure it's different. By Mitzorah for sure, the Klolei HaPsak of Tuma B'Shus HaYochad versus Tuma B'Shus HaRabim do not apply, and the Mishnah in the Goyim, as well as the Mishnah in Nazir, it's a Mishnah in the Goyim. But those who are not so familiar with the Goyim will certainly remember the Mishnah from Mishnah's Nazir, where it says that what is the Psak, how do you pass them by Sofik Tumas Nagoyim? So if the Goyim has not yet declared him as Tomei, and it's a Sofik, should he declare him as Tomei? So you don't. Sophically Tomei is Tohar. And if he already is Tomei, and it's a Sophically Toher, whether we should declare him as Tohar. So you leave him the way he is. Taisus on the side of the Gemara Nazir is bothered with a kasha. There are Mishnayis and Nazir, and of course the Mishnayis are repeated again in the Goyim. The Goyim, by the way, is not so hard. Kalim is hard. The Goyim is not so hard. It's very easy. It's just Yichazer over the whole Chumash. Spells out all the dinim. In fact, the Mishnah says, whenever there's a Sotik in Hilchas Negoyim, don't look in the Mishnayis, look in the Chumash in Kaskim. Because all the dinim say Beferish in the Chumash. Kalim and Aholos, that there's very little Chumash. And the whole thing, you got to look in the Mishnayis. When you have a Shaila, you got to look in the Mishnayis. But you have a Shaila in the Goyim, you look in the Mishnayis. Whenever it doesn't say in Mishnayis, you just go look back in the Chumash and you'll figure out based on what it says. So the Mishnah in Nazir, that appears also in the Goyim, has a discussion of a person who's a Sufik Mitzvah, a Sufik Gain Mitzvah. So the Bali Yatesis says, how is that possible that the man should be a Sufik Mitzvah, Sufik Gain Mitzvah? Manushach, he does not become a Mitzvah automatically. If it's a Sufik, whether the Kohen should declare him as a Mitzvah. So the Mishnah says he does not declare him as a Mitzvah. So he's not a Sufik Mitzvah. A woman can be a Sufik Nida, Sufik Gain Nida. A man can be a Sufik whether he touched the Sheretz or not. He can be a Sufik Dalkeri, Sufik Gain Nida. How can a person be a Sufik Mitzvah? If it's a Sufik Petchilo, whether the Kohen is supposed to declare him as Tomis, he will not declare him as Tomis, he won't be a Sufik. And if he is Nabuchas Kastuma, and the Kohen has a Sufik, whether he should declare him as Tor, so the Mishnah says, do not declare him as Tor. So you don't declare him as Tor, he remains Tomi the Yonah Wood, so you declare him as Tor. So how is it Gimalt that you have a Sufik Mitzvah, Sufik Gaina Mitzvah? That's Tosis Kasha. So the Chor, the simple Teretz is, I don't think Tosis answers that. I don't remember. Taisis and Nazir talks about the Kasha, and the Keren Eri talks about the Kasha, and Nazir also. So the simple Teretz is very poshut. The Mishnah is telling you what you're supposed to do. If it's a Sufik, whether the man should be declared as Tomei or not, so it says the Kohen should not declare him as Tomei. Leave him the way he is. In Kozman, you don't declare. Kozman, the Kohen doesn't say anything, he's going to remain Tohar. Or if he ready is Tomei Tumas Mitzvah, and then you have a Sufik, whether you should declare him as Tohar. So do not go through the procedure of Tahara Samitzorah, did not declare that he's Torah. Leave him the way he is, and Mimele, he will remain Tomei, the Yoyin Avoy. So that's what the Mishnah tells you what you're supposed to do. What if the Kohen didn't follow the din in the Mishnah? What if the Kohen sees the man as a Sufik Mitzorah, Sufik and Mitzorah? So the Kohen thinks, Kohen Amoritz, he doesn't know the din. So he says, Speka Derai Siluchomai, I hereby declare that you're Tomei. So if the Kohen walks over to me and he says that I hereby declare that you're Tomei, and I don't have Simoni Tzarat that correspond to the Tumas Tzaras, he can say from today till next year, I'm Tomei, I don't become Tomei. He's not the Pope. The Pope can't do it either. Pope Nish can't come. He can't declare that I'm Tomei. Or let's say, I am a Mitzvah Tomei, and the Kohen declares, I hereby declare that you're Tohar. So he doesn't make me Tohar. If I don't have Simoni Tahari, if the Tumas Tzaras didn't disappear, so the Kohen can't just make a declaration, hereby declare that you're Tohar, and I become Tohar. I don't become Tohar automatically. Oh, so that's what the Mishnah says. So what's the din in such a case? The Kohen sees a person who has a negat saras and a suffix of whether he should declare him as Tomei. And the din is you're not supposed to declare him as Tomei. Kozman, you don't declare he will remain Tohar. So the Kohen didn't know the din. He didn't follow the din. He says, I hereby declare that you Tomei me suffix because fake of the rise of the Chumah. So that's the Shaila. If he has Simoni Tume and you're supposed to declare him as Tomei, then the declaration that you made is valid. If he doesn't have Simoni Tume, then it's not valid. So it's the Hasafik Tomei, Sofik Tom. In that case, the man is a Sofik Mitzvah, Sofik Gain Mitzvah. Because the Kohen violated the Dinim. The Kohen didn't follow the Dinim that it says in the Mishnah. He's not supposed to declare. Whenever it's a Sofik, you're not supposed to open your mouth. Just keep your mouth shut. And whatever state he's in, that's what state he's going to remain. So this Mishnah goes, Hachmaskinah, the Kohen didn't follow that din. He did declare Tomei or Tahar. Not the Shaila, whether the declaration that he made is Yesh Bo Mamish or Ein Bo Mamish. Gemara in the last Perek in Sanhedrin comments Al Derech HaDrash, this is L'chora clearly not Posh Peshat in the Pasuk. There is a din of one of the three Simani Tumim. Is Pisayon. If the Negat Sarah spreads further. Then if the Negat Sarah spreads further at the end of the week, at the end of the 2 weeks, at the end of a period of time of Hezger, Pisayon is a Simen Tumah, and you machlit the Mitzayra Muzgar, and it becomes a Mitzayra Mukhla. All the dinim change. What happens if the Tzaras covers up the whole body of the person from head to toe? Then the Chumash says that's a new din. Kulo hafach lovon taharhu. If the neged tzaras spreads over the whole body, then adarabba, then it's considered a simen tar. And the Mishnah gives you the details of the din. When is kulo hafach lovon tahor? When does it apply? When it doesn't apply? All the conditions. So the Gemara in the last parak in Sanhedrin has a comment about when Mashiach is going to come. So the Gemara says, Ein bet David bo, as shetehafach hamalchus kulo laminus. That Mashiach will only come after the government will become apikursim, minus, non-believers. As it says, kulo hafach lovon, toharu. Everything became lovon, therefore it's tohar. So what do you mean, everything became lovon? A strange passage in the Gemara. Kuloi hafach lovon tohar. Lovon usually represents that which we think is clear. Like when the Ravid has hasagas against the Rambam, so he'll often use an expression, loy mechuvar, it's not white. Chivra is the Aramaic for white. So white means something that's clear that we understand. So lovon, when you have tchelus and tzitzis, so lovon represents Rabina Hirsch in his commentary on Chumash, right, like that, but the lovon represents that in life which is clear, and the tchelus represents that which is daimel kisei hakovod, that which we really can't fathom, the things in life that are unclear. So apikursim think that they know everything. Apikursim are very arrogant people, but think that everything is very clear to them. They know that this is not so, and that's not so, everything is very clear. So perhaps that's why the Gemara takes this expression, kulo hafach lovon, when the malchus will become lovon, it'll become minim toharhu. Soloveitchik said a few times that he thought that that was fulfilled with the, which malchus is going to become hafach lovon, which malchus. So Leitchik used to say a comment years ago. He thought perhaps it's referring to communism. He thought that the communist government was the first time in the history of the world that the government had as an official policy atheism. There were countries where they had Avodah Zarah official. There were still Adi Yamazet. There were countries where they have officially, this country is a Christian country. This country is whatever. Shinto, Buddhist, whatever, all the different Avodah Zarahs, Naminehim. So you have countries where the official policy is Avodah Zarah. You have countries with no official policy, freedom of religion, whatever you want. Do you ever have in the history of the world, do you ever have a country that has as an official policy atheism? If they want to stamp out all religion, the official policy of the government. So he thought that that's what the Gemara was alluding to. Shaila is that communism already collapsed, the Mashiach didn't come yet. So if you look in the Gemara, the Pashup Shat in the Gemara says it's talking about the Israeli government. We're not talking about the communist government. Pashup Shat in the Gemara talks the Israeli government will become Kulo Hafach Lovon Tohar Hu. They're working on it. They're working on it. What's the idea behind this? Why should it be so? Why should the Rebbeinu Shel Olam only bring the Mashiach after Kulo Hafach Lovon? The Hafach HaMalchus Kulo Laminus, when the official policy of the Israeli government will be one of minus, one of atheism and so on. Why should that be so? Very strange. So I suggested maybe it's based on a notion that appears in the Mishnayos regarding Afrashas Truma. That there is a din when you mafresh Truma, so you have to have Reishis Shesheireh Nikorim. Usually you take off 2%. You want to give more than 2%? It's Tavola Broch. You want to give 99%? It's fine. But you want to give 100% of all of the Tvuah should be truma. So the Mishnah says that Oisa Korgona Truma Lo Yom Avaleklum. Lo Yom Avaleklum. It's not chal because we require that truma should be rachis. Rachis Dugon Chatirosh. Rachis implies Shiareh and Nikorim. You have to leave something over. If you don't leave anything over, then it's not chal. So the Mishnah has this din benegeh to chala, benegeh to truma, but not benegeh to rachis hagez. Even though the same expression appears, rachis geis tzen chatiten loy, so it should also say rachis. It doesn't. The din is not so. The din is the favor is not so. The farmer wants to give away all the wool to the kohen, isn't that? Not mechuyifta, but if he wants to, you know. So the mafarshim on the Mishnah says, why should there be this discrepancy? So pashup shan, if you want to give a teretz, you can give a very simple teretz, not a teretz. It's a question. It's not a kash. Why? How come the din by chal and truma requires shiareh and nikorim? By reishis hagez it doesn't. So the pashup shat is that by chal and truma there's an isa tevel. So the hafrash is coming to be mata the isa. So you can only say it's mafir if by being mafrish this, I'm kurishem on this. This is called truma. So b'meilo that becomes chulam misukon. It has to be mata something. So normally you take off 2%, you give it to the coin, and 98% become wood. If you want to be very generous, you give 50%. to the kohen, and the 50% is truma. You want to be even more generous, very, very generous, give 99% to the kohen, and the 1% remains chul and mesukan. You want to give 100%? So what do you mean? This is matter. What? What is it matter? Well, it's matter itself. That's not matter. The halacha says when you have truma, that's matter. The yisa tevel has to be matter something other than itself. It has to be matter something else. Maybe that's the pashim shot. By Reishis Haged, there is no Yisat Tevel. So there is no Hafrosh of Reishis Haged. You say, Mafrish, Reishis Haged is to be Matir, the Yisat Tevel on the other thing. The whole Lashon doesn't apply. There's no Hafrosh and there's no Matir Zayn. So maybe that's the simple reason why. But the Mefarshman and Shnai don't say that. The Malecha Shlomo, who raises the question, I think HaMishnai is Chalak, if I'm not mistaken. Malecha Shlomo is one of the Sfaradish Gedolim, has a running commentary on the bottom of the Mishnai. The standard, the big Yochanan Boaz edition. He suggests, I think he quotes from Kabbalah sources. Sfardim more attuned to Kabbalah than the Ashkenazim, so they understood it better. So the Malecha Shlomo, I think, quotes from earlier sources that Truma and Chala have Kedusha. So the Kedusha is enhanced when you see Kodesh next to Chol. This is Kodesh and this is Chol. So by contrast, if you have Torah Umado, so the Torah is on a higher level. We just have Torah of the year. So it's Torah Masorah. So Torah Masorah. So it's Torah and Torah. So there's no contrast. When you have a contrast, then the Kedusha is more noticeable, more conspicuous. And in L'chatchila, you have to have Mukav. Tais and Sheet is that the Dina Mukav is in the Raisa. You have to have the Kodesh next to the Chol. You see, Mamash contrast. This is Kodesh in comparison to that, in contrast to that. That's called Masheni came by Reshi Sagez. There's no Kedusha at all. Reshi Sagez doesn't have any Kedusha. So you don't need that there should be any Chol to draw the contrast. So perhaps that's what the Chachamim had in mind over here. The Gemara has a din in Brochus that you should always be eager in the Kabul Panei Hamalochim. In the middle of the Sugi of Kovar Abriyas, the Gemara says, the person, the Olam Yoritzod, Likras Malochim, Velayrak, Likras Malchi Yisrael, Elafil, Likras Malchi Yomasoil, you should always go run to see royalty. Why should you run to see the royalty? Kedeshim Yizke Yavchin. So Rashi says, what do you mean? If you'll be Zeicha to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu, if we'll live so long, we should be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach. So we should notice the difference. This is a real Melech. The covet that the Melech HaMashiach is going to have, this is a real holy man. This is Taka Melech. You should see what a Melech is like, what the Israeli government is like. We should see what the British government is like, and we should see what Roosevelt was like, and what Truman was like, and what Nixon was like, and what Carter, and what all the Goyish kings over here, what all the Malachim are like, what all the presidents are like. And then we'll see a contrast that this is a holy man with Kedusha, with Ruach HaKodesh, with the Stavis and everything. So if you'll Kedesha Yizke, Yavchen, you should see the Hapchonah. So it's an Indian to stress, to understand better and deeper the Kedusha and the Hashivas of the Melech HaMashiach. So the Gemara says, if you will have been Mekabel Pnei Malachim, other Malachim, Malchi Yisrael, Malchi Yisrael, and then you'll understand better what the Hashivas of the Melech HaMashiach is. So perhaps that's what the Chachamim meant over here. I don't know. Maybe that's what they meant, that right before Mashiach will come, Ein Medavid Bat, Shetavach HaMalchus Kula Laminus, so that there'll be such a contrast. Mamish lahavda ben kodesh l'chol alof alpahavdolus. You have right before the period of Beis Hamishnah is going to be a malchus Yisrael, a government, and Eretz Yisrael be all apikursim, atheist, and then is going to come Mashiach, who's going to be mamish the opposite. It's going to be a man full of kedusha and precious and midas tovus and ruach hakodesh and everything. So the kedusha will be enhanced. The kedusha will be more conspicuous and more noticeable by virtue of the fact that you have a contrast right in front of your eyes. It's like Truma. You have Shiran, the Koram, and you have Mukav. They're one next to the other. So it's so the Kedusha is more noticeable. There is a Mishnah in the Goyim where it says that when the Koyim looks at the Negat Saras, he shouldn't look at more than one Negat Saras at the same time, whether they're both on the same person. Let's say one is on the right arm, one is on the left arm. Or there are two different people. Let's say two people have a negatzara. So you shouldn't look at both of them together and then paskin. You should look at one at a time and paskin, and then look at the second one and paskin. So the Mishnah doesn't give the reason why. One might perhaps say that the reason why is because ein ois mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. It has an arichas and Tziv in his commentary on the Shultas has an arichas on that, that may possibly be the reason for the din. But the Mepharshim on the Mishnah is, I think it could be that the Pharisees throw. They give a different reason why. I think it's in the second parak in the Gemara. They give a different reason why. They say because the negat zaras, you have to be very careful to assess the proper shade and the proper color of the negat zaras. Is it this color? Is it that color? And depending on what color it appears to be, that's how the kohen is going to determine whether it's called, whether he should declare it as tamei or not. And then the Mishnah says, at certain hours of the day, at certain hours of the day when the sun is too strong, so then you shouldn't look at the negat zaras because you'll get the wrong impression of what the color is. And if it's a cloudy day, a Yom HaMunon, you also shouldn't look at the negat zaras, not on Odom, not on Tumas Batim. It has to be at certain hours of the day when the sun is not too bright and not too shady. So maybe that's what I think that Tiferes Yisrael writes in Mishnah, is that you shouldn't look at two Maris Negoim, and then Paskin on each one. You should rather look at one at a time and Paskin on it, in order not to get confused with the color. It could be relevant for us also, Benegea Bizman Azeh, Benegea to, let's say, Damanida, Maris of Damanida. Sometimes Anisha comes with a shayla of Amara Damanida, it's not so poshut, but it's Amara Tohar or Amara Tomei. So some Rabbanim sit in Bati Dinim and they have 50 Maris Nagoyim. They have to, not Maris Nagoyim, they have 50 Maris that they have to look at. So if they're going to look at all 50 and then say, well, this for sure is Tomei, and each one has a number. Each one leaves a number and an envelope and so on. Yeah, this one's Tomei, this one's, this is Torah, this is Torah. And then they're going to leave the 25 that are left, and they're going to work on those. Well, this is worse than this, this is this, this is this. So if you learn the Mishnah like that, the Mishnah is not telling you a din from, you know, it's a mitzvah, chavilas, that rias negoyim is a mitzvah, you shouldn't do them mass production. You should do one at a time. If you learn, the Mishnah is telling you a din, that you're going to get confused in colors, and you shouldn't, you should look at each color separately, and paskin on it, and then move on to the next one, and paskin on it. So maybe such a din should apply to Ksamim as well. That Rabbanim who paskin on Maris for Shelus Noshim should not look at them mass production. They should do one at a time, maybe. Let's see. Where, anybody remember, where did we leave off in the Hilchas Tzitzis? I don't remember. We're in Siman Tes. I think it says even on the same person you should not. Should do one at a time. I think we learned Siman Tes, no? We're up to Siman Yud? We're up to Siman Yud Sefei, no? Tasa B'Lei Menase. The Pasuk says, G'dilim Tasa L'cho. The Mishnah Berurah writes on Yud Dalet, the bottom of the page 34, the last line of page 34, says, Kot Yud Dalet, and Siman Yud. It says, G'dilim Tasa L'cho. And the Tanaim Darshan Tasu Vilemina Osu, that when you tie the tzitzis sign, it has to be behechsher. So if you have a three-cornered garment that's not chayvim tzitzis, you put on tzitzis in one corner, then you take one of the other corners and you cut it in such a way that now you just made it into two corners, now it's a four-cornered garment, but this one tzitzis that you tied on was tied on before the beged was mechuyev. So that's an example of a psul of Tasu Vilemina Osu. Then the Shulchan Aruch is going to have more examples later. Of a psul of tasav lemin osa. Take for example another case. The person Simon Yud Aleph Sif Yud. Chutin Tzor Sheyu Tvuyim Lashmon Wrong Sif. Sif Beis. On the top of page 39. Tzrichim Shezirav Sheyu Shezurim Lashmon. Shezira means that the Chutei Atzitzis should be twined. This is really a machloikis harishani, whether this is so. In the Ber HaGoel on the top of page Chav, on the top of page 39, he says as the maramakim for that in tzich mishazira, mashmo is ha-gemara de'erev in tzadik vav. The Gemara says in hamoitzei tefillin. The Gemara talks in hamoitzei tefillin, I find a pair of tefillin, so do I assume that they're kosher, or that they're imitation, that they're fake? If they're kosher, then I have to see to it that I should be mishamed and mikushasam, that I shouldn't look at them. I'm walking up the street and I find a pair of tefillin in a garbage can. So I have to take them out of the garbage can and then put them away in shameless, or see if they're kosher, so use them, give them to someone. I shouldn't leave it there. If it's just a toy, an imitation, so I can leave it in the garbage can. So the Gemara says, how can you tell if it is tefillin, it's not tefillin? Gemara discusses. Then the Gemara there also, that's the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah says, I made a tefillin the Shabbos, what does he do? And there's no Erev, but he's not allowed to carry, so he puts on the tefillin. But only if it looks like it's kosher tefillin. If it looks like it's an imitation pair of tefillin that a goy made, that a tzreis and a bikuris made, so then you leave it there. You don't have any coolness. And then the Gemara discusses also, what if a person is digging in the Qumran cave, someone was talking last week, someone is digging in the caves of Eretzah, and they find string that's dyed chelis. Does he have the right to assume that that's chelis or not? So the Gemara says, well, if it's so long, the length that you usually use for chutei tzitzis and the shizurin, and it's twine, then mistami, you should assume that these were made properly for tzitzis. Mistami tzitzis. Why does it have to be shizurin? So the Rambam learns that the Pashav Shani Gemara, because tzitzis have to be shizurin, the strings have to be twined. You have to take at least two strings and twine them together. Just have one thread, each one of these eight strings, each one of the four long strings of the tzitzis that turn out later to be eight strings when you fold them up, it's going to be just one single thread. That can be twined. So then the simple pshat in Gemara is that it's not kosher for the mitzvah. How do you know that it has to be twined? So it's a sifrei. The Berah Goli refers to the sifrei, the Balei HaTosfos called it. The sifrei says just like by the big dekuna, the chutim have to be shizurim, so to over here. The Artzus HaChaim points out, here the Mishnah Berurah quotes this in Sinchot Yudala, the Artzus HaChaim points out that as a mitzvah, min ha-muvchor, many people do, kofel shmoina. What's up is kofel shmoina? But since the sifrei, there are different prices in the sifrei. So depending on which one of the big dekuni you're learning it out from, will determine how many threads you have to twine together. So according to one source, it's enough if it's six. And according to the other source, one would require eight. And that's the biggest chumrah. If you're going to have shazur more than eight, it's not one pasul, altogether it makes one string. It doesn't pasul if it's more than kafel shmoina. But the maximum there possibly could be a shita that you need is kafel shmoina. The Rabbi Tam and Taisa disagrees with the whole thing. He says that there is no such din that you need shazurim on tzitzis. The Gemara just says that was the practice. Bizman HaTanaim, Bizman HaMaraim. They used to make the tzitzis, they used to twine the strings in the tzitzis so they shouldn't rip. They used to make it strong and sturdy, but it's not a halacha that you have to, that it's required, al pi halacha, that you should do it. In fact, the Rabbi Natan mentions this in the introduction to the Sefer HaYosha. He writes that that's what prompted him to write, that's why they prompted him to write his Sefer. His Chaverim, his Talmidim told him, Rebbe, you better write a Sefer because of all of Yechidusha Torah. So he says, and they encouraged him specifically because of his interpretation of this Gemara in Erev and about the Shizur, that tzitzis do not need Shizur. We don't pass like that, Rabbi Natan. This is the reason why the Rabbi Natan wrote his Sefer Yosha, because his Shita shouldn't be forgotten. So this is the Shizur. So Shulchan Aruch says that you need Shizur. A Yalfusa. So just the Yalfusa, Trelis. Since Trelis has to be Shazur, so may Lovin has to be Shazur also. And the Trelis should be Shazur, the same as the Trelis in the big Dikun of a Shazur, that we have Psukim there. So depending on which one of the big Dikun you're working with, the Malvin points out, will determine how much of a Shizira do you need. So the maximum you can possibly need is Kofel Shmoina. Now, it's commonplace. Everybody knows you buy Kofel Shmoina to get six. Mishnah Berurah makes fun of it a little bit. He says, I don't really understand why people are so medactic on the kofel shmoina dika hang-up. He says, mikra din, it's enough if it's kofel shnayim. As long as you have shizurim, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rishonim don't say. This is the Malbim came up with this. It depends what he learned from this one of the big dikunah. From that one of the big dikunah. So the biggest chumre is eight. So he says, they're so makbid about the kofel shmoina. And they're not makbid at all that the shizira should be done by a Jew. A lot of times the shizira is done by non-Jews. So he says, that's keneged adin. The tviya of the elef is called asiyas atzitzit. So the tviya sachutim, when you take the wool and you convert it into thread, that's called tviya. So the tviya has to be done l'shmo, that's a gemara. So the tviya of the elef, we assume, has to be done l'shmo. So his shizira is done after the tviya. First I make tviya, and I make the wool into thread, and then I take two threads and I twine them together to make the one chut. There's a shayla in Shulchan Aruch, what about niputz? The first Ramor, in Siman Yud Aleph, that's on page 37, on page Yutes, Ramor says, V'yesh machim afilu l'napson l'shmam, aminik l'hokol b'niputz, mar t'chavi agudet. Then on the bottom of the page, Mishnah Berurah quotes, the preacher b'shem Arami Prague, that l'hatchili yesh l'hachol l'napitz l'shmam. Niputz means, when you take out all of the dirt from the wool, you have a special a hand machine that you bang one against the other, and it cleans out all the dirt. That's the niputz, but it's still just in the state of wool. You didn't convert it yet into thread. Tviya is when you convert it into threat. So there are those who are even machmet to do the nifos l'shma, and the Rama says the minig is not so. The minig is that we start from the tviya on. The tviya v'yelach is called asiyah satsitis, so the asiyah has to be done l'shma. That's the way we assume. Asiyah has to be done l'shma. The Gemara says that if a goy ties the tzitzis onto the beged, it's no good, because it says Dabreel b'nei Yisrael v'asol lahem tzitzis. Dabreel b'nei Yisrael v'asol lahem tzitzis. If a goy ties the tzitzis, it's possible. So the Rambam understood from that Gemara that it's a special gzeres akosim, that if a goy makes it, it's no good. If the din were that tying on the tzitzis, tying on the chudim onto the beged, has to be done l'shmo, so of course the goy is no good. A goy who is eni b'teiras, mitzvah tzitzis, cannot create the shmo. That's a universal din. Whenever somebody's any b'teira, is any given mitzvah, he's unable to make l'shma. Let's say matzahs have to be baked l'shma. So the din is that women can bake matzahs also. Why? Because women are mechuyev in the mitzvah of matzah, despite the fact that it's a zman groma. If the din would have been that women are potter from matzah, they wouldn't be able to make l'shma either. A goy can't make l'shma. A goy can make l'shma on a get. An eved k'nani also can't make l'shma on a get. Any b'teira is gitni kiddushin. Whoever is any b'teira cannot make l'shma. That's how the Rabbi Natam understood. That's why the Rabbi Natam says that a woman cannot tie the tzitzis, because the woman is zayin b'teres mitzvah tzitzis. A woman is b'teres mitzvah matzah, so she can bake the matzah l'shma. But tzitzis needs asiyah l'shma. Women are not mechuyev, so just like the Gemara says women are possible for making tefillin, so to the Rabbi Natam, in Gittin, Daf Mem Amud Beis, says that women are possible for asiyah satzitzis. But the Rambam holds not so. The Rambam holds that that the Gemara just says, if a goy makes the tzitzis, it's no good. And the Gemara learns a pasuk, Dabra b'nei Yisrael v'yosel on tzitzis. B'nei Yisrael v'yosel v'lai anachem v'yosel. So what do you need a pasuk for? Whenever a goy does an asi, it's always shalor l'shmo. So the Rambam is medayik from this, that kshiras achutim ala bega do not have to be l'shmo. So a goy cannot tie, but an isha or a katan can certainly tie. And the Balei HaTosfos disagree with the Rambam. They said, no, that's... They said no. A goy is an upsul. I want to need an upsul. If you hold that mitvia v'yelach, all the asiyas mitvia v'yelach, or minipitz v'yelach, whatever it is, mitvia or minipitz v'yelach need asiyah l'shma. So why do you need an additional pasuk to say that a goy cannot do the kshirah? A goy cannot create the shma because he's zayin b'teiras. So apparently in the Shulchan Aruch they have. On page 38, the Mechaber quotes a machloikas. That's in Simon Yir Aleph Sid Beis. Tvuan hanachar v'yisrael lehmet agaba v'yom shayasa l'shman l'haram ma'pasol l'harash kosher. Let's say a guy is writing a get and Yisrael is lehmet agaba, and he tells him write the get l'shma. It's a religious necessity that we need a religious divorce. So the Gemara says even though it's Yisrael lehmet agaba, it's considered as if the get were written shalal l'shma. Akam adaiten enav shikovet. So the Rosh, as representing the Shita's Balei HaTosfos, says that's only by a get, because it takes a long time. It takes half an hour to write a get. So he has to think l'shma the whole time. True, if he thinks l'shma in the beginning, so we say, if he started writing the get l'shma, we assume he continued writing the entire get l'shma. But to say that the goy is going to have machshava l'shma the whole time, the Yisrael Amir Agabo v'malamdo will help a little bit. So part of the get will be considered written l'shma by the goy. That's how the Rosh holds. But since it takes half an hour, that's too long. But what about a pa'ula that's chad tami? Let's say when we learned Hilchas Tefillin, we had this rush there also. Let's say to do the ibud ha'oros, to take the leather and convert it into parchment. So the Gemara says ibud ha'or has to be done with shema. How do you do ibud ha'or? You throw a packet of chemicals into the thing, and that's it. And then it happens by itself. So throwing the pack of chemicals into the vat that has the leather soaking in the water, that takes a second. So the rush is of the opinion that if a Nachri does it, when Yisrael Amin Agabah, when he tells him to do it because we have a religious mitzvah, tefillin, yeah, he shows him a tefillin, so the Rosh holds that it is good. And the same over here, if it's a pula that doesn't take so long, tzviyas ha-chutin, to make tzitzis, does not take as long as writing a get, so the Rosh learns the Gemara ki'ilu, ha-Nachri hot ha-shvach ha-kof. So to expect that the Nachri should concentrate for half an hour, the shmo, from the beginning to the end, that's too much to expect from it. Even though it's Yisrael Amin Agabah, from it's haver. But to concentrate for half a minute, so what's so difficult? It's a shvacha cup. If the Israel keeps on insisting, I should do the shmo. So for half a minute, I can do the shmo. That's how the Rosh seems to have understood. The Rambam understands that Nochri doesn't have a shvacha cup, but Rav Chaim explains in the Sefer Tzalocha, Akam adaita ninav shikavir tzalocha, that a Nochri is moved from Asiyah l'shmo. That's the Pashup Shah. So the Rambam understood from this Gemara, the fact that the Gemara needs a Pashup to say that the Nochri cannot do the Kshiras Chutei Atzitzis, what's the problem? Of course he cannot do the Kshira. He needs Lishma. So it's a right that Kshiras Chutei Atzitzis do not need Lishma. Just a Goy is possible. An Isha or a Kotten would be Kosher. So the Kshiras HaChutma. The Baalei HaTaisis hold not, so they hold no. I need the Pasuk to tell me that a Nochri cannot do Mitviya V'yeloch, or possibly Vinifuts V'yeloch, is Asiyas Chutei Atzitzis, that need Lishma. And Koshkein the Kshiras HaChutma Ala Beged. That for sure needs Asiyah Lishma. That certainly needs Asiyah Lishma. The only thing is, the Gemara meant to say like this, what if a Nochri ties the Chutim on the Beged, V'Yisroelah, Amir Agabo, V'Mitzaveh, and how long does it take to tie the Chutim? A half a minute. So maybe then he saw Lamed Agabav, maybe then he can do the Shema. So that's what the Gemara needed a Pasuk. Even though he can do the Shema because it's how he saw Lamed Agabav, and it doesn't take half an hour, it takes half a minute, it's still no good because of Exeris HaKosov of Dabel B'nei Yisrael V'yosu, B'nei Yisrael V'yosu V'lo Yomar Sarah Lamed Yosu. So the Mishnah Brewer raises the question. The Kofel Shemayin is just L'chatchila, that's not Miyakeh B'diyevet, he says. That's for sure. He makes fun of it a little bit, the Mishnah Brewer, why people are so medakim. Mal makes it like it's a real Naritz Sachai makes it like it's a real Yafusa. Depending on which one of the big Likuni you're learning out from, that will determine how many chutim you need, and the biggest chumer can be Shmaina, so you make Kofel Shmaina. Mishnah Brewer makes fun. So he says, well, how come you're so medakim that it should be Kofel Shmaina? They're not medakim that it should be done, the Tzviya should be done Aide Yisrael. Any time is in Europe, a lot of times it was done Aide Noch. So the Mishnah Brewer raises the question, what happens if you have chutim? You did like the Rabbi Natan. You use chutim for tzitzis that were not shizurim. They're going to be very, very thin. Single thread. Each one of the eight strings is a single thread. That's very uncommon that a person... Anyway, the Rabbi Natan says that it's good. You can do it like that. Even though it's not twine, it's good. So we would pass in the Shulchan Aruch that it's no good. It has to be shizurim. It has to be shizurim l'shman. Two. It has to be shizurim. It has to be shizurim l'shman. So what happens if you have tzitzis that are not shizurim, and I tied the knot already on the beged, I tied the top knot, then I realize, givald, it's not shazur. So can I take another string and make it shazur now, if I've already tied it onto the beged? Would that be a psul of tasa v'lem and osu? Would that be a psul of tasa v'lem and osu? I think the Mishnah Brura discusses this, that l'chor that should also be tasa v'lem and osu. That you shouldn't be able to do the shizir after it's already tied onto the beged. It's too late. Because it wasn't, it didn't have a hechsher. It didn't have a hechsher at the time that it was tying it on. That's the Bir Aloha on the bottom line on page Chav. He thinks that that's no good. Then he has another interesting shayla about tasav lo min asim. The din is, min atar, you only have to put tzitzis on a beggar that belongs to you. On a tal shulo, it's only chayven tzitzis mid the rabbonim. So from that passage we learn out, number one, the beggar should belong to me, number two, the chutei tzitzis have to belong to me. If the chutei tzitzis don't belong to me, also no good. So what if I took someone else's chutei tzitzis and I tied them onto my beged? The gamut of chutei tzitzis, I tied it onto my beged. So it's no good. It's my beged, it's mechuyvin tzitzis. I put on someone else's strings, it's not kosher, it's not shalit. But then I go to the owner of the chutei and he sells it to me. I give him, he sells the tzitzis. How can he sell it? I give it back to him. I make a hashava, I'll give him back the whole talus with the chutei atzitzis, it's your strings, and then he sells it back to me for $5. But at the time that I tied the chutim onto the beggar, it was einishali. So would that be a psul of his einishali? Number one, the strings didn't belong to me, number two, it was a mitzvah babaveru, because it was a tzitzis zula. So would you call that also tasav lemin asui? What do you say? No, that ownership is not tasav lemin asui. Tasav lemin asui only applies if the beggar only has three corners, so the beggar is not chayv in tzitzis. Or Tassel Lemon also, the Shulchan Aruch is going to have another case. Let's say I have just a little piece of cloth that has a corner on it, and I'm going to tie on tzitzis, let's say like this. let's say I have an old talus that's all worn out and I'm going to throw it out in the garbage. But if the shadow sits, it's such expensive talus, it's so expensive. So he's going to cut off the corner. He's going to cut off the corner of the talus. All four corners he's going to cut off. Then he's going to buy himself a new talus, take a scissors, cut off the corner in each corner of the talus, and sew on this corner. Sew on the corner that he just snipped off from the other talus. So the Shulchan Aruch tells you the din, and when is it good, when is it no good. Sometimes it will be good in rare cases, and very often it will be no good because Tasa B'Lavan Aser. Because the string, the Chutei HaTzitzis were tied on to the thing during the period of time when I snipped it off, before I sewed it on the new baggage. So they were tied on to the piece of cloth which didn't have a shame baggage, which wasn't chayvin sitzes. So then when you tie it on, it's not kosher. When you sew it onto the new baggage, it's not kosher. But this is a shayla. What about bailos? The Mishnah Berurah is not sure. That's on the top, on the bottom line, nistapakti, the bottom line on page 40, in the Bir Halacha, nistapakti, mishugozol chutzi tzitzis mechaveiro, v'acha shehitilim, bibigda shidim le'avura nesanam le'matana. You have to untie the whole tzitzis and tie it up again, because tassu le'man, also you're not. V'tzarech iyon godol. V'tzarech iyon godol. Interesting shayla, is that called a psul? It's just the din that you're not yotzeh. The tzitzis are not yours. You're not yotzeh in it's any. That's the halacha of tasav lamin osa. That's in Sif Hei. We're back again, page 34. In Sif Yud, Simen Yud, in Sif Hei. So the Shulchan Aruch has a din of tasav lamin osa. Middle of Sivav. Beginning of Sifrov is never comes up by us. By little children it sometimes comes up. When my son gets Anim's Miris, so he has to put on a talus, when he walks up, so the talus is too big for him, he's so short and skinny. So the talus, all the talism are too big, so he folds it in half. So the way he folds it in half, it comes out that he has two tzitzis in the front, two tzitzis on the right side, two tzitzis in the front on the left side, and in the back he has a fold with no tzitzis hanging down. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses that. Let's say my son is before Bar Mitzvah, let's say a person after Bar Mitzvah always wears his baguette like that. He has a big talus which is too big and he folds it over. So if he sews it down on all three sides, so that's the way the baguette is going to be, so then he's not supposed to have two tzitzis over there, two tzitzis over there. He's supposed to have one over there, one over there, that's one corner, and one over there, that's also a corner. But if he never sews it down, then you need the tzitzis on the floor. He doesn't have to sew it if he folded it over anyway. Does he have to sew it down on all three sides, or is it mastic if he sews it down on one side? If he sews it down, let's say, on the side opposite the fold, so it's always going to be like that. It's enough if he sews it down on one side to declare that now you have four corners instead of the four corners. So there's a detailed discussion here in the Mishnah Berurah with the Sachaim. Know that it ever comes up. The second half also never comes up, but the second half of Sivav is a very fascinating machlokes. The Rambam and the Raiva, the Mechaber paskens of course like the Rambam, like always, and the Ramah says no, we pasken like the other Rishonim, because Rav Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. The Shaila from Baltosis: I have tzitzis in each one of the four corners of the baguette, and then the guy adds on another tzitzis in this corner. There's two tzitzis coming out from the same corner, from the same neket, in the same corner. So the Gemara seems to say that that's an issue of Baltais. So if you wear the talus the way it is now, you'll be in violation of Baltais. So how do you remove Baltais? Cut off either one tzitzis or the other tzitzis. Cut off one or the other. The shaila is, but when I tied on the second chutei tzitzis, so the shas, when I tied them on, I wasn't allowed to wear the whole baguette. So that asiyah was the paslus. So if I cut off the first, the one, the older tzitzit that was there, and I'll leave the new one there, so that should be a shayla of tassav l'anos. So the Ravid, the Ramah quotes from the Ravid in Rav Rishon, Yesh machshir b'chol linyan v'chein nikra. He says it does make a difference, but he cut off the first tzitzit, cut off the second tzitzit. It's not possible. You'll be, if you wear the talus the way it is, you'll be in violation of both places. But it's not a psul in the tzitzit. The first tzitzit is good, the second tzitzit is good. We recommend that you better not wear the tzitzit, the talus the way it is now, in order not to violate both places. But there are more pastors that have nothing to do with Tassel Lemonos. And the Rambam has a ganze story over here. The Rambam says, if he put on a second tzitzit in a corner, if he put on a second tzitzit in one of the four, in any one of the four corners, or in all four corners, and he wasn't thinking, he likes it better with two tzitzit. Everybody has their own thing. These people do this, these people do this. He wants to have two tzitzit coming out of every corner. Everybody has their own meaning. So, and then later on, the rabbi taps him on the shoulder, he says, Bal Taisif, my friend, you're not allowed to do that. So the Rambam writes whether he cuts off the first pair, the first tzitzit that was there first, or the second tzitzit, and either way it's going to be a psul of Tassel Lemonos. It's no good. Because at the time that he added one on, there was a din of Bal Taisif, and the whole thing was possible. The whole beged was possible. And therefore, whichever one you'll cut off will be a violation of Tassel Lemonos. So you got to take everything off and start all over again. Unless, the Rambam understood the Gemara as saying, unless, when he put on the additional tzitzit, he had in mind that Melechatchila is going to remove the older one because it's yellowish already, and he's only going to leave the newer one. The newer one is prettier and it's not worn out. So if he had this in mind, in this kavan of Atlus HaRishayna, Chotach HaRishayna Ukshayru. Very strange. So why should that make a difference? Just because he had in mind to remove the older one. Why does it make a difference? Very strange. The Ravid asks on that Rambam, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. That you have to figure out what the machlok is. Siv Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch talks about a person who has an undershirt that has a slit on the side. So the undershirt, let's say, has a round neck, and on the bottom it was round also, but then it made a slit. So if the slit only goes up part of the way, doesn't go row, then it's not called dalet kantos. It's not called the nukana. If the slit goes up rove of the side of the beged, then it is called the sonof, and you have dalat nof and yichayv mitzvah. What if the slit goes up matzah matzah? So then the Shulchan Aruch says that yichayv misofek. And the top line on page 36 saying yetzim bo b'shabbos, because since it's only a sofek, so the Mishnah Berurah said you shouldn't say a bracha on it. Hey, mevrochan olav, the Mishnah Berurah chavah, because it's only a sofek chayv mitzvah, then yetzim bo b'shabbos, because it may be a masui. The only time you're committed to wear tzitzis on Shabbos is when you're sure that it's kosher. The Tziv has in his tshuva, in the Meish of Dovah, we mentioned that the Tziv has a tshuva that he sent to the Bala Mechaba Mishnah Brura, either Simon Aleph or Simon Beis, where he disagrees with something the Mishnah Brura wrote. But Bukhari is disagreeing with the Mechaba here also in Simon Yud Tziv Zayin. Mishnah Brura said you have to be careful that your talus cotton is a significant size. If it's going to be too tiny, then you'll be saying a bracha l'batola on his al mitzvah tzitzit, because it's too small to be considered a beged. And then when you wear such a harpakafis in the street on Shabbos, you'll be in violation of the Yisro Haitzor. So the Nitziv says he doesn't understand the brachal about Tala, he understands, but he says the chilul Shabbos by Haitzor, he doesn't understand the klaz b'chubel a beged ki beged dami, whatever is dark to be cut. So if this guy always wears an harpakafis with the strings hanging on, let's say I wear a jacket with strings hanging on. Let's say a woman wears a dress with strings. She wears a tichel with strings hanging on. That's the way she likes to wear it. Dark of the cut. If I wear a jacket with strings hanging out here, it ain't dark of the cut. So then you say, well, the beggar is not kibbegin. It is not dark of the cut. But this guy always wears the arbekantus with its tzitzis hanging on. So even if it's not kosher, since it's dark of the cut, so that should be bottle lagabi the beggar. So Lachari, his argument, Lachari is against the Mechada on the top line on page 36. Also not, no. If you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah, then you're not permitted to put on shatnez. The Nitziv just has a taina against one thing. Why the Mishnah Brura wrote that it's an is there's an iser of wearing the beged in the street on Shabbos because of Hoytzor. Hoytzor on what? Not Hoytzor on the beged, Hoytzor on the strings. The kind is, why but the strings on Mechubel the beged, the dark of the tach, he leaves it all week like that. So why is it Gora from strings on a dress that the woman always wears like that? That's her style. Ah. Probably not. I'll be touched this night. Would you say the Prima Gordon talks about that? Essay, Dechaloy Sasa, what if it's only a Suffolk essay? Is a Suffolk essay Dechaloy Sasa? The Pashtus is certainly not. Prima Gordon has a Shaila. Is a Suffolk essay Decha a Suffolk Loy Sasa? But here it's a Suffolk essay and a Vadai Loy Sasa. So a Suffolk essay, I think for sure, is not Decha a Vadai Loy Sasa. Not annoy anymore, but still, so treat it like mechubel beged v'dark v'kach. So dina k'beged. What do you have to say? Itam noy that it enhances the beged because he makes a kima mitzvah. So say mechubel beged k'beged dam. Yeah, but what if that's the way I always wear it? And from the very beginning, it really didn't enhance anything. Let's have the shatnas label inside. I have the label of the suit inside. It doesn't enhance the value of the suit. But still, I always wear it attached inside. There are more rites in Shulchan Aruch. The Jews were required by the Pope to wear a yellow badge sewn onto their begotten. Eagle Hayorok. So he says, Eagle Hayorok, if he sewed it onto the begin, Mechubel HaBegin, Kebegin Amin. They wore it all week long. They wore Shabbos in the weekday. Yes, if the guy has such a pair of Arbakampas, it's very tiny. He wears the same Arbakampas that he wore as a little baby when he was 4 years old. So he wears it now, he's 40 years old, he wears the same. So it's too tiny, it's nothing, so there's no mitzvah. But that's the way the guy always wears it, with the strings on it. So the Mishnah Berurah didn't say that it's a masri on the beged, it just chapters on the chutim. Why is the chutim worse than the beged? The chutim is a mechubel beged, ke beged dami. Supposed to be tzitzis, and it isn't. Okay, could be. Anyway, the Mechaber seems to say like that. Mechaber writes like that, that it's a promise. Not just the time against the Mishnah Berurah. The time against the Mechaber over here. The Mishnah Berurah points out in Sifkot on Chapei, on the bottom of page Yutches, that a lot of people make a mistake when they have these undershirts, so they want to measure from below the sleeve till the bottom, and they make a slit berubai. So he says that's not enough when you make a slit berubai from below the sleeve, because the beged goes all the way up to here. Ruba means ruba of the whole beged till the top, not from the sleeve till below. So he says that was a common practice in Europe, and he says that it's not correct, that it's not right. And it says in Sif Yud, what if you have a beged where the main motivation in wearing the beged, it's a mitznefesh. The main motivation wearing the beged is to cover the head. And then, like the Arab sheikhs wear them, and mainly the thing hangs down not only on the head, it hangs around the back, and it hangs around a little bit in the front also. It covers up Rosh HaBerubo. But the main, he really has he has a whole suit on. He doesn't need this to cover the body. He only needs this to cover the head. So the Mechaber writes, Kim Shikor Lachasas HaRosh is not chayiv and tzitzis because kesus chlam rachmana v'lo kesus harosh. You're not chayiv. So that's the shaila that the Mishnah Berurah raises in Sifkot and Lama Gimel. So what about the people who wear a silver atoret on the top of the talus, and then they wear the talus over the head? So it comes out that the main part, the most expensive part of the talus, is the atoret. So it comes out that the main part of the talus is to cover the head. So he says, nah, that's not the main part of the talus to cover the head. That's the most expensive part. That's a nayi mitzvah garnish. Why do they put the atara? So he says, because the Magen Avraham quoted from the Achronim that kerish is zochel leinas mitzav fine leinas mitzav. But those kroshim in the Mishkan that were used on the tzofim side, you shouldn't switch them to put them on the dorm side, as the pasuk says, v'hakemoses hamishkan kimishpato. Kimishpata means like a dintara. Dintara means that the kerish was zeicher. Kerish is zochel, leinas mitzav, and leinas mitzav. I shouldn't switch over here. Also, that part of the talus that you put on top of your head, you shouldn't wear the talus upside down, and wear that part on the bottom around the side. She'd always put that part on top because it was zocha lehinasen ala rosh. So in order to remember where's the top and where's the bottom, where's the right side, where's the left side, so they put an atara with a bracha, without a bracha, whatever, in order that you should remember. And then once they're putting an atara, so they put a little silver also, but it's not that the beged was ikara made to cover the head. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Lamed Gimel. He says, no problem. He doesn't consider this a problem. Then he says, Bechlal, he concludes it, quote Lamed Gimel, but the whole issue of turning the talus upside down, that Rizal thought was a joke. The Keresh that's B'tzofon, we discussed it when we learned it in. The Keresh that's B'tzofon, Tzofon is where Kotchi Kotchman is Chatma, that Tzofon has a Chshivas over Dora. But the part of the talus that you wear on your head is, on your head, is a bigger Chshivas than the part of the talus that's on the bottom. The whole talus is one talus. What's the difference? Tzofon is more Chashim than Dora. Or the Mizrachman, in Shul. The Mizrachman, for some reason or another, is more Chashim than the rest of the Shul. But how can you say that the top of the talus is more important than the bottom of the talus? Well, the whole talus is the same talus. What's the difference? They say by the sukkah. Some Achraim say, if you have a sukkah from year to year, from planks of wood, so you should always put up the sukkah every year the same way you put it last year. So you should put numbers on the boards of the sukkah, like they used to have letters or numbers on the boards of the kroshim of the Mishkan, in order that they won't confuse them. So the question is, what do you mean, the sukkah? What part of the sukkah is more important than which other part of the sukkah? In the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, the tzofen is more important than the dar. Tzofen is where you do kachu kachu. Remember, hechatei said that the talus of yam. But because of this issue, that maybe the atorah is considered an atorah wherever you head. Maybe it's a beged where the ikir is, chasas harosh, that's why the Ateres Ikenim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch quotes that there was a meaning that some Hasidim have, that if you have a silver Atar on the top, you should put another silver Atar in the middle. You have two Ataras, so no one should think that you're only wearing, that the main purpose of the talus is to cover the head. Now have another silver Atar running through right the middle of the talus. So a lot of Hasidim do that based on this Ateres Ikenim, but the Mishnah Berurah makes fun of it. He says that it's not a problem. Obviously the Atar does not represent the notion that the main purpose of the talus is to cover the head. A Torah is a different purpose. Then at the end of Simon Yud in Sif Yud Beis, the Shulchan Aruch quotes a very strange din. There was a Jews in different communities had a practice not to wear tzitzis on a certain type of a four-cornered garment, and the Gdolim were not too sure why the practice was that they didn't wear tzitzis. So the Chabad and Ramah give a suggestion. Ramah is quoting the Beis Yosef that Mistama, because the nature of this beged was that they didn't, you're supposed to wear the tzitzis l'chatchila in such a way that you have two tzitzios lefanov and two tzitzios le'achor. Kedei she'hem esubov the mitzvahs. That's what it says in the Midrash. Kedeshiyeh misubah of the mitzvahs. So if you're wearing a beged, where the nature of the beged is such that you have all the four corners in the front, so that's what the Mechaber writes at your potter. Hol ben kanfeim asim shivishnayim lefneim shtayim lachreim v'chubarim zu keneged zu turim. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Many achroinim have a fact pick on this. It's highly questionable whether this is a sufficient reason to potter a beged from tzitzis. Says it, it's really not right. Allah Azur Rafef is Bidei Hagoinim. He quotes the Mogen Avram. This kula is very questionable. It's not proper to rely on them. The Simon Yud Aleph in the beginning, the Mechaber writes in Sif Aleph, Sheyoyma Betchilos Asi, that you're doing it to Shmo. So the Mishnah Berurah refers you to this whole discussion that he had earlier. That there is a question in Rishonim whether you require Amira. Whenever you do something Lishma, when you write a get Lishma, when you bake matzahs Lishma, as far as that you need dafke Amira. Then the Mechaber has a Loshon on the top line of page 38. Who has to have the Amira? The one who's doing it has to have the Amira. Of someone else. If the husband asks his wife, or a man asks a woman, do a tfiyas atzidri, on the assumption not like the Rabbin Tam. Rabbin Tam holds that a woman is ain't a baterish, so she cannot make Kshiros Atzitzis, she cannot tie the Shema, because she's in a B'teres. According to Rabbi Nitam, whatever part of the mitzvah needs the Shema cannot be done by Nishos. So that's not only Kshiros Achutim, even the Tviya or the Niputz should also not be done by a woman. It should be done Davka Ayde Gever, Tviyas Gever. how it says on the tzitzit that they charge extra money for. So it says Tzvi Hasgeber that it was done by man as opposed to done by a woman. It means a Jewish man, as opposed to being done by a Jewish woman. Because according to Rabbi Nitam, a woman is possible for all the Asiyas and the Shmo because she's Zaini B'Torah. So if the man wants his wife to make the tzitzit, so the Mechaber writes, it's not necessary that the wife should say that she's doing Lishmo. If the husband tells the wife, here, do the Tzvi Lishmo, that's also called an Amira. Mishnah Brura writes, what then if the woman says on her own? He should be asked not married, she tells the Shema. Is that very good? But even if the woman doesn't say, someone tells her, do the Shema is also good. So that's by the matzahs also. When you bake the matzahs, if you have goyish workers, it doesn't help. If you have Yisrael Lomid Agaba tells the goy and bake the matzahs the Shema. We probably machmir for the Rambam Shita that we read over here on page 38, that a goy is always mufka from the Shema al-Pidin. It's not because he has a shvacha cup and he can't concentrate for so long. It's al-Pidin. Whoever is any b'toros is mufka from Lishmo. But let's say you have Jewish workers, but they're just techniques, they're not so religious, whatever. And they're not going to be thinking Lishmo. They have a job, that's what they're thinking, they got to do their job. They're going to make their money. They're not thinking that L'shem Matzis Mitzvah. But somebody screams out, bake all the matzis, L'shem Matzis Mitzvah. So that says in Shulchan Aruch that you don't require the amira of the one who's actually doing the Lishmo. As long as somebody made an amira, that would also be sufficient. What if the somebody who made the amir is a cotton? Some also good. Be dafka agor. It's just to be murdered then. It's like a shamei koine. The woman who hears the man say, make the tzitzis l'shmo, shamei koine is if she said, I'm making it l'shmo. She's not disagreeing. So the same thing, shamei koine is like if a cotton says, it's also shamei koine. Not like Shemei Kohen of Kiddush. It's not that kind of a Shemei Kohen. It's a different kind. So even if the one who does the Amira will be a cut in stomach, would also be good. That's the big machlek, is where the machine Shmura is considered a seal of Shema. That's the big machlok. The Pashta says that it certainly is called Asir Lishma. Tvias Achutim, the Kozhik lover who was killed by the Nazis, has a Tshuva Sefer that's called Eretz Tzvi. Not to be confused with the other Sefer that's called Eretz Hatzvi. So the Sefer Eretz Tzvi has a Tshuva where he says that the Chutei Tzitzis that are Tvuyim, Ayidei machinery, Lishma, he says that it is good. He explains the same as the Chazon Ish. He explains why it's good. He says that in order to do it Lishma, you have to have Asir. Has to be Maisa Ha'adam. If it's only Gromo, so then it's not considered Maisa Ha'adam, so it's not called Asiyah L'shmo. So how do you determine whether it's an Asiyah or it's a Gromo? So the Gemara has a discussion about Kerech Rishon versus Kerech Sheni. So the Pashup Shat in the Gemara is the Kerech Rishon, Kerech Sheni means like this. If you push a button and then you push it closed right away, so how much would have been produced with the first pushing of the button? How much would have happened by the first little bit that you did? So nothing would have come out of that. The fact that the tzitzis continues to, the matzahs continue to bake all day long, l'chore that's a kerech sheni. Kerech rishon means how much would have been, kerech rishon means like this. There's a container full of water and there's a door. So if I pick up the door for a second and I close it down, so that water, that gush of water that would have gone out with my just picking it up for a second and then closing it, so whatever happens, I lay that water, that's called Kerech Rishon. But if I pick it up and I leave it like that, I leave it open. And the Mele, not only the first gush of water goes, all the water empties out. So whatever would have not happened, I lay the first gush of water, and you needed the rest of the water, then we'll call that Kerech Rishon. So there's a question in Rishayna regarding that din of Kerech Rishon versus Kerech Rishon. Is that only a halacha that's relevant when you need Kerech Gavre? By Shchita, in Ritzicha and the Tilus Yadayim, those three dinim require Kerech Gavre. Kerech Gavre is something over and above Maisa Ha'odom. It's not enough that it should be called Maisa Ha'odom. You need Kerech Gavre also. That's how Rav Chaim explains in the Sefer. Kerech Gavre is something over and above Maisa Ha'odom. So a group of Poskim seem to hold that this distinction between Kerech Rishon and Kerech Sheni is only within those three cases. We need Kerech Gavre. So then, in order to be called Kerech Gavre, it has to be Kerech Rishon. But here there's no din, you need Kerech Gavre, it's just a din. You have to have Asiyas Ha'odom as opposed to Groma. So I might say it is, even if it's a Kerech Sheni. So that's one Heor. Taisis and Bava Kama says the Feirish Natsan. Taisis in the first paragraph of Bava Kama, Davov and Beit, the Chazanish and Bava Kama points it out. Taisis holds that Kerech Rishon versus Kerech Sheni is a Chisorin in Maisa Ha'odom. If it's Kach Sheni, not only is it a lack of Kach Gavra, it's a lack of Maisa Hodim. So then it'll be relevant for Tvias HaChutim Lishma, be relevant for the machine Matzah. So the machine Matzah, they push a button and the machine goes all day long. It goes for 24 hours, 36 hours in a row, keeps on going and going. So this Tach Mamash Kach Sheni, so that's what the Kosher Glover has in his Tshuvah, the same as the Chazon Ish writes, no, that's wrong. When do you distinguish between Kach Rish and Kach Sheni? If you have a vat full of water, a dam, whatever, and you pick up the door, you pick up the opening, you pick up the dam, and then you close it right away. So if you pick it up and then it keeps on going, why does the water continue to go? Because the heavy water is pressing down. So the mail is going to keep on going, the water is going to keep on going. So I just did Hasaras Hamoneya. I removed the dam on the side. The mail, the water goes out because the water is all loaded up over here. But when I push a button on a machine, it's not that some activity is going and there's something blocking it from entering here. And when I push the button, I remove the thing and then the mail continues to go over here. Nothing is happening. When I push the button, I put the whole system into motion. So that's what the Kosher Glover, as well as the Chazon Ish, they lived about the same time. They both point out that the Mogen Avraham says, in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, that will not be called Kerach Sheni. That's all Kerach Rishon. I set up the whole system. So since I set the whole thing up, that's Mamash called Kerach Rishon. It's only called Kerach Sheni if I do Hasara Samoneya. Electricity. But the electrical current means that I'm setting up the whole thing. There is no force. Nothing is happening. It's not pushing that. It's not pushing anything. The electrical current that doesn't come through over here, nothing is happening with that. Over here, the water is all pressing down. The pressure of the water is there. The only thing is that there's nowhere for the water to go. So when I pick up the dam, then the water goes. But over here, by my completing the circuit, I'm doing a whole davar chadash that wasn't there at all from before. So that's more than Hasara Samaneh, much more. That's why they both think that should be comparable to the case that the Mogen Avraham has, that when I set up the whole system, even though I walk away, and it continues to happen after I go to sleep, that's all considered Kerach Gavra. It's all considered Kerach Rish. So that's what they hold. I mean, the machine... Chutei tzitzis, machine made chutim, and machine made matzis, are called asiyah lishma. That is a problem. I mean, the guy's running the generator doesn't happen by itself. That's a serious problem. The only time a Kerach HaMirba is mitzarif to me is if it's a natural force, but if you need a human intervention, some other human action, then look, it's not mitzarif to me. Why? Can the guys?
If the guy is helping the machine, but only
the
generator.
Yeah, then it should be a chisaron in my mice. Then the whole Kerach HaMirba should not relate back to me. Should only relate back to me if it's a natural force. But if it's another human activity, l'chor, should not relate that. In Siv Gimel, on page Yud Aleph, Shulchan Aruch talks about what if you have tzitzis that when the sparkle mishes the rosam, you have tzitzis that were twined and then they became unraveled. So what's the din? So the Mishnah Berurah explains what's going on. What's the problem? The Chabad says you have to have hushi ishtar kedei aniva. If you have a kedei aniva left, it's good. In other words, whatever was nisparek, I consider it as if it's possible. Why is it possible? Because you have 16 strings instead of 8. So what's so big? So you have 16 strings. So possible. So the Mishnah Berurah says no. The Machab is talking about a case when the tzitzis are not kofel shmaina. They're only kofel shnayim. When it's going to be nisparek shizirasam, so the strings as they stand are not shizurim. We are machmer against the Rabbeinu Tam. It says basically, we hold that if it's not shizurim, it passels. Some machmerim want to say passels menater. They hold that this is a psul menater. So that's why the Mechaber says it's a problem. But the Mishnah Berurah says, what if you have the kofel shmeinah tzitzis, and then it's misparkel mishizirasam? So you have every tzitzit broke out into two tzitziot, But the two, each one of the two has kofel arba. So he says kofel arba is good. All you need is kofel shnayim. It's the whole kofel shnayim. Everything, all the kfedus, that's all the chumr. Says mikra din, it's enough if it's shizurim, two strings pointing him. So then he says he wouldn't even require a kedei aniva left. Yeah, what does it mean kedei aniva left from where? Kedei aniva left from where? Kedei aniva left after the knot. After which knot? The Mishnah Berurah wants to know on page 40 in the Bi'ur Halacha, kedei aniva left after which knot? So the Mishnah Berurah says, the Gemara says lachatchila you should have 1/3 wound around and 2/3 loose. And then the Gemara says that the tzitzis should be 4 agudlin. The Mechaber has on the first top line on page 40. The tzitzis, the length of the tzitzis should be 4 agudlin, and there's a machlokes in the Rishon what that means. Whether the whole thing should be 4 agudlin. Tzitzis from the top to the bottom should be 4 agudlin. That means 1 1/3 agudlin should be wound around, and 1 1/3 should be wound around, and 2 2/3 should be loose. It's teeny weeny tzitzis. Or does it mean no, that you have to have 4 agudlin should be wound around, and that's 1/3 of the sach hakol? So you need 8 agudlin should be loose, so sach hakol 8 and 4, and high mathematics is 12. So the length of the tzitzis should be 12. So that's the machlokes nemachaber. Ein apachas midalad gudlin, the yesham and yud beis agudlin, mechein noagu. Mishnah Berurah wonders whether what's the Ikar Adin? What's the Ikar Adin over here? Is it really 4? Or is it 12? What's the shear? But Akopan, so the Gemara says there that Lachatchili should be 1/3 and 2/3, that's how we get the shear of the 12 Agudlin, because we assume that the 4 Gudlin is just the top part. And you have to add on another 8, the loose part. What happens if it's not 1/3 and 2/3? What if it just had one Kriecha around? You wrap around 7 times and you tie a knot and that's it. You didn't tie 7, 8, 11, 13, just tied 7. So then the Mishnah Berurah says that the Gemara says that for the Eved it's kosher. So the Mishnah Berurah says that maybe since for the Eved it's kosher with that, even though he didn't do kriches all the way 1/3 down, so maybe the nishtairu kedei aniva can count from that knot that you made. First you make a knot next to the beggar, then you wind around 7 times, then you make another double knot. So if you would have left it like that, it would have been good, even though it's not 1/3 and 2/3. So maybe the kedei aniva should be measured from that point on. That's what he thought. That's what he thought the din should have been. But then he says on page 40 in the Bir Halacha, Yoseh Roruch, then he says, you see that it's not so. The Paskim hold not so. What's the Hezbollah? Why is it not so? So he says, since when you started winding around, you had a mind to make 7, 8, 11, 13, and you intended to make one long Hemshech of a unit, so that's all called the Gedil, that's all called the Krichas around, and the Halacha requires the Kedei Aniva sticking out from the bottom. Where do you have such a chitinsa that because you have a mind to do more, so it's not considered completed until you do the more? But for the Eved, if you would have left it at the, when you made the 7 krichas around, you made the second knot there, the double knot after the 7 krichas. So if you would have called the quits, then it would have been good. So why should you say that you don't count your shir kedei aniva? So he says, ukedemus raya lazeh, to give a shtikel haichocha, he quotes a gemar masech ha-shabbos kufla mezayna medalev, in the Bir Halacha, that when you mal a baby on Shabbos, a mila bezman is decha Shabbos, only to the extent that it's necessary to do the mila. What if you've already caught off the basar achayfes roif ha-torah? So you finish with the bris mila. Cutting off of the miut is only lechatchila, because they're kelim yanveil. But for the yevet, if you leave the miut, a basar achayfes miut ha-torah, but the yevet, the bris mila will be kosher. So the Gemara says, nonetheless, you're permitted to continue to be mechal Shabbos to cut off the rest. Because Adayim lo sila kes yodo, because man shel apirish, chayzer afilu al atzitz and shenim yakim, because he didn't finish yet. So it's considered as if he didn't finish the bris milah. So he says the same over here. When I do the one chulia, I made the first chulia with 7 krichas around, I plan to make 7, 8, 11, 13. And I ultimately finish it, I make till 13. So I consider the whole thing as one big hemshech. Even though I could have stopped at the end of the first one, it would have been good the way it is, but I didn't intend to do that. And I didn't do that. I finished till I finished 7, 8, 11, 13. So therefore the din requires you should have kedei aniva hanging out from the bottom knot, from the last knot, before the strings become loose. Then you have a shamus to wind around. The Mishnah Berurah says it doesn't have to be the same shamus. You can switch in midstream if you want to. He says, Vaharaya. I didn't know you don't have to have one shamus to wind around all the time. He says, because when you have tcheles, So you clearly have to switch the Shamas, because you have to wind around part of it with the Lavan, part of it with the Tehillim. Obviously you're switching the Shamas. So he says, if everything is Lavan, you can also switch the Shamas. So let's say everything is Tehillim, but all the Tehillim strings are the same length. So the Pashtus is, you should keep on switching. Once you should use one string, once you use another string, it's going to come out that one is going to be much longer than the other. Okay, we'll stop here. We're up to Sif Hei in Siman Yud Aleph.